Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And we are live Saturday morning here, as we are every Saturday morning, 52 weeks a year, talking baseball with you, the Chicago baseball fan, on Inside the Clubhouse, alongside Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito, and for David Haw. Glad to have you along today. We have a great show. We have an extended show, and we have some great guests for you, as always. We'll get to that in a second, but Bruce, let's start with the news of the week, and certainly the news of the year. We talked about it last week with the Cubs being in contention for his services, but in the end, no surprise, Shohei Ohtani to the Dodgers.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised, but I think there's a little bit of shock in the baseball world after Ohtani, okay? And that's what we'd like to talk to you about at 312-644-6767. That's our number, always interactive here on the text and phone lines at the Score. And Mike, you know, just looking at Ohtani and how this was dragged out from last Friday until he signed over the weekend on Saturday, made the announcement, and then the press conference this week, it leaves a lot of people wanting, but it also opens up the free agent markets and the trade markets for everybody else. As you've seen the last day and a half since Ohtani's press conference, you have seen a flurry of free agent signings and some trades as well. I think this next week, going into the Christmas weekend, next weekend, Mike, we're going to see a heck of a lot more activity, including the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox, continuing to try to fill out their rosters for 2024. With that in mind, again, 312-644-6767, what are your thoughts about the Cubs not making it all the way with Ohtani, their attempt, and what they should do next? We have, hopefully, somebody that can help us with those answers. Jared Banner, the Vice President, Assistant General Manager of the Chicago Cubs, will join us at 9:30. Jerry Harrison, pre- and post-game host for Dodger Baseball on TV at 10 o'clock. And then at 11 o'clock, at 10:30 is Banner. At 11 o'clock, we have Scott Boros, the super agent for Cody Bellinger and many others, including Snell, Hoskins, Chapman, Scherzer, Martinez, Dylan Cease on the south side. So a lot going on here, an awful lot going on as far as the show goes today. Again, all interactive for you as well.
Yes, we want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And Bruce, before we get out to the phones and the text line, and surely we will hear from Cubs fans on the Ohtani thing. I know we will. We are already starting to see that. We do want to talk and listen in a little bit to Ohtani talking about why he chose the Los Angeles Dodgers and what he hopes to accomplish there. And this is via his translator, Ipe Mizuhara.
I made my announcement on Instagram, and I made my decision the night before I made the announcement. And as far as why I chose the Dodgers, there's not really one reason. There's a lot of reasons, and I met with a few teams at the end of the whole negotiation process, and honestly, every team I met with and I had a chance to talk to, they were all great, and it was really, really a tough decision for me. But at the end of the day, I had to choose one team, and Dodgers were my choice. Yeah, I don't know too much about the fan base, but I'm willing to learn, and I'm looking forward to that. But obviously, whenever I go on road trips, I see different types of fans from different stadiums, so I kind of have a general idea of what types of fans are in different locations. But even when I was playing with the Angels, when the Dodgers come in town, like, the half of the stadium is, like, blue, all blue. So in that sense, I feel that they're very, very, very passionate fans.
Yeah, of course, the biggest goal is to win that World Series. And personally, I have not experienced the playoffs yet, so that's one of the goals, too. Make sure we make the postseason, then the World Series after.
So that's the Shohei Ohtani sound from his press conference via his translator. And Bruce, that last one, he says his biggest goal is to win the World Series. And the one thing we do know, the Dodgers are pretty consistent as far as making the playoffs and making a nice push in the postseason.
Yeah, I really haven't won a World Series, in my opinion, since 1988, though. You want to call it 2020,
sure.
60 games. I mean, they have the hardware to go with it. As far as, you know, whether that's a real season or not is up for debate. Fact is, they're always a very good team, okay?
Yep.
They're very similar in this run where they've made the playoffs 11 years in a row to the excellence of the Atlanta Braves from 1991 all the way through 2005, you know, where they were just in the playoffs every year. Only won one World Series, but, you know, made it to five different World Series total in the playoffs, winning multiple divisions almost every year. So this is a great organization, extremely well run by Friedman, who is the president of the baseball operations there. It's a good ownership. They have tons of money, more money than any team coming in every year, with $300 million a year. I'll repeat that, Mike. $300 million a year just from their TV money, okay? Hmm. That dwarfs everybody else in baseball. It's two to three times more than any other team in baseball get for their TV rights. So with that in mind, this 10-year Ohtani signing is a huge deal, and it's, you know, it's a ridiculous number to look at, but certainly affordable for the Los Angeles Dodgers as they defer most of it except for the $20 million over the 10 years that they pay up front. So it's an interesting deal. But an impactful one for the rest of baseball, for sure.
Yeah, Cubs fans, your reaction to the Ohtani signing. The news broke a little bit after we were off the air last Saturday, so our first chance to talk to you about it at 312-644-6767. I know I saw on Twitter yesterday lots of, let's call it frustration, Bruce, at the inactivity so far of specifically the Chicago Cubs. I know fans expecting lots of activity this offseason. The Cubs have been actively involved. They just haven't landed anybody at this moment. And, of course, the Ohtani domino, the biggest one to fall, Bruce. But what would you say, and what we'll hear from our Cubs fans as well, to people who wanted to see moves already from the Chicago Cubs?
Well, sitting here on December 15th, I do not, or 16th, I do not really fear for the Chicago Cubs that they won't be able to add the proper players. Same thing with the Chicago White Sox. Plenty of time in this offseason to get things rolling. So, again, is the market thin from this point on? You know, has Cody Bellinger now immersed as the number one free agent out there to sign as a position player? Yes. Is Ian Snell, after Yamamoto, the top pitcher out there after winning the Cy Young in the National League? Yes, they are. Not everybody's taste. There's probably only three to five teams that are probably going to be interested in signing each one. Agent Scott Boras doesn't really care about that, okay? Mm-hmm. All he cares about is getting teams interested in his player, getting the proper amount of money and years for their play, for the player, and moving on. That's what he does and has done best for probably the last 30 years in Major League Baseball. So with that in mind, I think there's plenty of time, but there's always angst, Mike, for fans of teams when you move from Christmas into the new year and you haven't gotten the big fish that you're looking for. And I think there is that feeling that the Cubs have to get Cody Bellinger to make this offseason at least even where they were last year after the season ended.
And we'll talk lots about Bellinger. As you mentioned, Scott Boras will join us at 11. We'll also talk from the club side to Jared Banner, the Cubs assistant general manager, later in the show, and Jerry Hairston Jr., from Dodgers Television, also a local kid. His dad, of course, played for the White Sox, and he was a former Chicago Cub. So, packed show for you, 312-644-6767. We'd love to talk to you about your feeling on the offseason thus far, the Ohtani move. And I definitely got that feeling, too, Bruce, after the Ohtani move, and especially you talk about some signings this week. Jung-Hoo Lee, a Korean outfielder, signed with the Giants for a six-year contract. The Giants were expected to be one of the contenders for Cody Bellinger and for his services. They still may be, but that's a big chess piece off the board after Ohtani as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants still have to make some noise, okay? Yep. I would not be shocked if they, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Cubs, continue to be in this sweepstakes for Bellinger all the way. The reason I say that, Mike, is San Francisco is a huge market. They still need a first baseman, okay? They still need more power in that lineup. With the center fielder they signed, the Korean center fielder, he's going to bring a lot to the team. He's a good hitter. They're gambling on the fact that he is going to be the answer in center field. Defensively, on base percentage-wise, hitting-wise, he might be power-wise. I'm not sure. In that ballpark, it's questionable on how many home runs anybody can hit, let alone looking at a player that hasn't played in the United States before. But I think Bellinger is still on the radar for them. They have left-handed hitting now, but again, Bellinger with a gold glove ability in center field at first base, outstanding base runner, knowing the league so well, I just think that you cannot count out the Giants in that war.
312-644-6767. Bruce, let's head out to the phone lines. We start out in Glencoe. And Mike is first up on Inside the Clubhouse talking a little White Sox. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. And as a White Sox fan, obviously I wasn't particularly invested in the Ohtani search, but thanks to Mr. Reinsdorf. But Bruce, I have a question for you. Chris Getz has some, I think, incredibly difficult challenges ahead of him in terms of making the right trade for Cease, on which so much rest, so much pressure. And I think also a deal with Aloy is going to be a difficult one to strike, and what he does with Moncada. With all the Tony La Russa noise this week, I'm interested in understanding why a guy who's 40 years old and who has never done this before hasn't formally sought out or hired a special advisor. He talked about Dayton Moore, but someone who is older, a gray hair, who can provide insight. I'm just a little nervous about Getz weighing into these difficult circumstances without any prior experience, without any senior help. You remember Kenny Williams blowing his first trade. What was it, Todd Ritchie, where he famously said, "I overpaid for this guy." Does Getz need additional help in making these deals?
Well, I think that's and thanks, Mike. It's a really strong question, and it's an important question. I think that's why he's brought in the support group around him. Gene Watson is considered one of the top baseball people in the game, okay? Gene is a professional scout, but more importantly, he's a professional front office guy and somebody that knows everybody in the game is a somebody that's known Chris for a long time, and he is the type of advisor that can tell you about every organization, who the sharks are as far as who you're dealing with the other organization. What I mean, Gene is, you know, I'm surprised he's not a general manager somewhere else. But that said, Gene is his top advisor when it comes to talent. Bringing in,
Bannister.
Bannister and bringing in the assistant general manager in Barfield. These are really smart young guys that are going to help as well. Being young in the game doesn't mean that you're not experienced or you're not smart. Chris Getz, one of the sharpest baseball people I have met in a long time. I've known Chris since he was a player. So don't underestimate what Chris knows. Now, Tony La Russa being around, I think that's just a benefit. Most people in Chicago cringe when they hear Tony's name because of the fact that they look back at his era as not having worked out. Well, if winning a division and finishing 500 one year is not working out, I get it. It's a far cry from the 101 losses they took last year. So with that in mind, I think they're in good hands. I think they're going to make good decisions, Mike.
Yep, and Bruce, I was going to mention, and you just hit it, the La Russa factor. He is an advisor. He is quick to point out that that's all he is. He's not making any decisions. He doesn't have any control over anything, but he is there as a sounding board, and I know both Grifol and Getz have mentioned that they appreciate that fact.
You know, Mike, people here at the station and a lot of fans, they just don't like the idea of Tony La Russa. They never did, okay? I get it. I understand it. Okay, does that make Tony not a good baseball person or a person to bounce things off of? In my opinion, you know, absolutely not. You know, he is still one of the smartest baseball guys that I've ever met in the game, and his experience counts. So, again, the proof will be in the pudding as we watch them continue to put their team together here in the offseason.
Yeah, nice piece by Daryl Von Skowen in the Sun-Times this morning, your Saturday Sun-Times, on La Russa and his role with the team. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Bruce, out to Macomb we go. Chip is next on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning, gentlemen. Quick question. Bruce, when you mentioned about the Dodgers and having $300 million per year, basically, courtesy of their TV deal, well, I know they negotiate a contract with these carriers separately, and that's where that comes in from. I'm just wondering where this money actually originates from in terms of the broadcaster themselves. Because isn't it that less than half of the people in Los Angeles or the market get Dodger baseball? I'm just wondering where really all this money originates from, because it seems to me that if you're not hitting at least half the market – or getting subscriber rates at least at half the market, you're not going to have that type of money. Are they charging exorbitant prices to their customers, or where is this money actually coming from?
The money is coming from advertising, and they have adjusted that situation there with the Dodgers. And when we hit the top of the next hour here, when Jerry Harrison joins us, he'll go a little bit deeper into how that money is obtained and how much individual people have to pay for Dodger baseball. But Mike, what he's pointing out is it used to be that only 40% of the market was getting Dodger baseball. That has been rectified over the last 3 or 4 years, and that money is all guaranteed over the next 10 years. So the Dodgers have no worries about bringing in that next 2.3 or 4 billion dollars that's still owed them on the TV contract during that time.
It's certainly a competitive advantage for them in terms of signing players when you've got Shohei now joining Betts and Freeman and everybody else that the Dodgers line up. And still active. We haven't even talked about Tyler Glasnow, Bruce. Why don't we do that now, actually? Because Glasnow was a name, the Tampa Rays starting pitcher, now an L.A. Dodgers starting pitcher, but a name we mentioned last week as a target and somebody the Cubs were in on. He had 1 year, 25 mil left on his Tampa deal. He has since been traded along with Margot to the Dodgers and extended. So Tyler Glasnow, another piece that the Cubs were in on heading west and heading to the Dodgers.
Yeah, and again, you know, we reported 2 weeks ago, I reported on Twitter and on our website at 670score.com that Glasnow and the Cubs were certainly in the mix as far as Cubs having conversations with Tampa. The asking price was a little too steep for the Cubs to make that trade. They also were concerned about the health of Glasnow, who's never made more than 21 starts in his five years of pitching with Tampa. The Dodgers certainly ignored it by extending him, giving him another $100 million over 5 years to stay with them. So they're not concerned about the fact that he's been one injury after another. When he's out there, he's a dominant pitcher. There's no question about it. 162 strikeouts in 121 innings last year. Just, you know, pretty remarkable. So, again, there's no questioning about the quality of the pitcher. It's just whether he's going to be durable enough to hold up.
312-644-6767, taking your calls on the Cubs and Sox moves or lack of moves so far thus offseason as we sit here on December the 16th. Another phone call before we have to break. Bruce, let's go to Highland Park. Talking Cubs free agency with Pete on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Love the show, as always. So my concern here, like you just said it, it's the lack of progress the Cubs have made. I mean, going in, as this roster stands now, they don't have a first baseman. They don't have a third baseman. They don't have a center fielder. And they also need another starting pitcher, kind of a, you know, a one or a two type guy.
Don't leave out the bullpen.
Yeah, and exactly. Yeah. Some arms in the bullpen. And although the Ohtani thing was a great distraction, yeah, I'm fine with them not getting him because he didn't fill any of those roles. So, Bruce, I mean, are you hearing anything? I mean, is there any urgency at all in that front office? They have a lot of work to do.
Well, they're working hard. Yeah, thanks, Pete. It's a really good call. Mike, they're working hard. They've had conversations with Cleveland about a big expanded deal that hasn't really come to fruition at this point. And, you know, in those discussions, it's been Shane Bieber. It's been Manuel Clase, their closer. It's been about some hitters that they have in their lineup. So that would be a big expanded deal that Cleveland and the Cubs would do. It's lukewarm at this point. I don't think right now that big deal is happening, but they certainly have discussed that. They have had conversations, obviously, with Tampa. They have conversations with other teams. Everything was on hold, as we know, before Ohtani signed. Now that Ohtani signed, it opens everything up. And I think that the Cubs' concentrations on many different areas, but certainly trying to get a handle on the situation with Bellinger and whether or not Scott Boras is going to wait till mid-January, late January, early February to sign him either with the Cubs or Toronto or San Francisco or a wild card team, you know, somebody like Seattle that hasn't been mentioned all that much. We don't know that. We know Scott's history is to hit the marketplace at the right time for the right player and make sure that he gets optimum amount of years and money in the right place for that player. He's really good at it. We'll talk to him at 11 o'clock.
Yes, we will. Scott Boras joins us at 11. We will talk to Jerry Hairston Jr. from Dodgers Television, pre- and post-game show host. We'll talk to him at 10, and Cubs assistant GM Jared Banner will join us at 10:30 as well. So lots coming up. We'll do Chicago Bound with another Japanese pitcher. We'll talk about that later this hour. Cubs and White Sox fans, after the Ohtani signing, how does that impact the Cubs and the White Sox? We want to find out more about Yamamoto as well and what's up with his free agency. And a quick reminder before we break, before Chicago takes on Detroit, tune in tomorrow, 9 to noon, for the PNC Bank pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by your local Ford dealers and Fox Valley Coins. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley as they'll get you set for the game. PNC Bank, official bank of the Chicago Bears. Then immediately following the game, instant reaction from Mully, Olin, and Pat on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. All of it right here on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. We'll continue to take your calls on all things Cubs and Sox offseason. Jerry and Red, everybody else, hang on. More of this when we return. It's Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
I really believe it's going to translate well. But I mean, the biggest thing is my last year in D.C., I was not feeling as amazing as I do now. You know, I feel strong. I feel healthy. To me, my velocity's back. And I just feel like there's sharpness on my pitches that, you know, I just didn't have there at the end of my career. I've been lucky enough to pitch in the big leagues, and I know what it takes to, you know, get outs, get swings and misses, and be successful. And I think, you know, I have a lot of confidence thinking that what I have right now is a repertoire that can do that.
That's Eric Fetty, the newest starting pitcher for your Chicago White Sox, the MVP in the Korean League this year. And to talk a little White Sox pitching, Bruce, we head on out to the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois.
The new senior advisor for pitching for the Chicago White Sox, Brian Bannister, nice enough to take some time out on a Saturday morning to join us in Inside the Clubhouse. Brian, good morning. Thanks for taking time out today from your busy schedule. And please fill us in on what the White Sox saw that they liked about Eric Fetty, now a pitcher and being projected to be part of the rotation this year.
Great to be here. Yeah, we were sitting at the winter meetings in Nashville, and, you know, Fetty, as we were spending more time on him, and I'd always liked him in Washington, but liked him wanting to make a few changes to his arsenal. And one of the things he did was overhaul his arsenal in the offseason before going over to Korea. He went out and implemented that new arsenal. And even though the quality of competition there is lower than the major leagues, we saw enough in what he had done and the way that he was pitching and the new pitch shapes that he was using to make a bet on him coming back and being a different pitcher. And one of my things that I've always liked is kind of working with pitchers that have been in the league for a while. You know, the league's not new to them. The travel's not new to them. They know how to take care of their bodies. They know the routines. They know the ballparks. But they're just pitching with a little bit of the wrong identity. So coming out, changing something up, giving them a new leash on life, and going out and pitching with a new ceiling and a new identity. And that's what we believe in with Fetty.
Brian Bannister, our guest from the White Sox, their director of pitching. And Brian, another trade you guys made earlier this offseason with Atlanta brought in a couple of guys who are contenders for that rotation and guys with really a lot of upside. And former All-Star and Mike Soroka, who's battled some injuries, but between Soroka and Jared Schuster, what can you tell White Sox fans about your expectations and hopes for those two guys this year and in the future?
Yeah, Soroka was a four-win pitcher at one point. He's battled injuries, but we've had some great discussions with him. Excited for the year. He's been working on a lot of his biomechanics the last couple years to stay healthier. But what we're really interested in is his sinker and getting back to kind of the ball physics that allowed him to have such a great year in the past, and kind of educating him on that part of his game and how he's going to achieve that. It's a thing that we did consistently with a lot of the San Francisco pitchers like Logan Webb and Alex Cobb and Kevin Gausman. So he has that elite ability to sink the ball, and we want to make sure that he knows how to do that consistently in combination with the biomechanics that are going to keep him healthy. So that's kind of our primary goal with Soroka. And then with Schuster, you know, he's been a lower velo guy recently, but we know a lot of people at Wake Forest where he pitched. And if you look at a lot of his mechanics back in college, he had a higher front side, was generating a little different planar rotation with a little more velo. And so we're going to help him improve his stuff. And we like the pitchability. We like the changeup. But all of these moves are just increasing the quality of the rotation, the depth of our pitching, and everybody, the theme is we can go in there and make them better. I worked with Ethan Katz, the pitching coach, in 2020 in San Francisco, and we have a good synergy and a good relationship and know a lot of people around the game at facilities around the country where all these pitchers are working out at, and maintaining those relationships is important nowadays to make sure these pitchers are focusing on the right things, leveraging the data and analytics, and coming back a lot of times a different version of themselves than what fans expect, and that's part of the exciting developments that are going on with the Chicago White Sox right now.
Brian Bannister joining us for a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. And Brian, your philosophy on pitching, and a subject that I like to delve into is velocity. And teams over the past 10, 12 years, you know, looking at young pitchers that throw 97 to 100 as disposable items. And I say that with all due respect to teams, but the idea that we're going to get them to throw as hard as they can for as long as they can, and their careers are over within 2 or 3 years. The art of pitching and the art of teaching pitching, to be able to teach a pitcher how to use his velocity properly and be the next Verlander or Sale who can use their velocity later in games to stay there and to dominate lineups rather than just blowing it all out initially. What's your thought process on velocity and teaching pitchers how to pitch?
I think the whole industry has gotten better at getting the most velocity out of their pitchers. We have so much technology now, nutrition, weight training, mobility, the biomechanics lab. We can do a lot of things to maximize an individual pitcher's velocity. And as a result of that, there's more velocity in the game than there's ever been. We also use pitchers in shorter outings for less batters, and so they're able to treat it more like a sprint than a marathon when they go out and pitch, which also artificially inflates velocity. So you have this abundance of velocity in the game, but velocity in itself doesn't get hitters out as much as it used to, because hitters are training on velocity. They're hitting off pitching machines that throw over 100 miles an hour. They're using little dimple balls that are coming in at ridiculous speeds, and that's what they're training their eyes and their hands on with regularity. And so what we've gone to, and something that I've always really prized within pitchers, is uniqueness. You brought up Justin Verlander. He has one of the highest release points in baseball and one of the purest ability to spin the baseball true. You talk about Chris Sale. I had him in Boston with the Red Sox after the trade. And, you know, he has an extremely unique delivery where he steps cross body and almost jumps towards first base. So what I really prize is not only the ability to generate velocity, but the ability to release the ball in a unique way with mechanics that are visually confusing to the hitter and to create spin and pitch shapes and angles that hitters don't get to see very often, and it's difficult for them to practice those types of angles and spin and shape. And so when we look at pitchers, we're looking for pitchers with very unique characteristics that hitters are going to struggle with over and over again, whether it's the third time through the order, whether it's seeing them multiple times in the same season or year after year. We want uniqueness because there is so much velocity, and velocity doesn't just lead to wins in the win column.
Brian, you come over to the White Sox from San Francisco, and you mentioned you've been at Boston before and as a player for Kansas City and the Mets. But what drew you to this job with the White Sox? Obviously, a difficult year for the Sox on the field last year. But I can tell just listening to you, you're very excited about the process you're going through and getting guys for this pitching staff right now.
There are a lot of factors in the decision. Primarily, it was a group of people that I really wanted to work with. I think the world of Chris Getz, he was my teammate in 2010. Ethan Katz, the pitching coach, I had already worked with in San Francisco. Gene Watson, the pro scouting director, was the scout that traded for me from the Mets to the Royals and has been one of my longest time friends in the game. Tony La Russa lives on my street here in California, and we meet with regularity, and we won a World Series together in Boston. I grew up on the South Side, my dad pitching for the White Sox throughout the 80s, and I spent most of my childhood at the old Comiskey Park. So when you combine all those things, it's people I want to work with. I'm getting in at the ground floor of an organization that just came off a bad season, but is open to new ideas with new people and building it a different way and the right way. You know, Josh Barfield coming over from Arizona is incredibly creative and just had a ton of success with them reaching the World Series on the player development side in Arizona. And so I like getting into an organization when they're on the upswing. It happened when I got to Boston. They had come off a last place season. Happened when I got to San Francisco. So I like going through a full win cycle with an organization at a minimum and really building something special. We were able to get to 108 wins and a World Series in Boston, 107 wins in San Francisco, and do a lot of really creative things on the pitching side and have a lot of success stories. So I see the same opportunity here in Chicago to really do some special things, give some fans exciting players on the field, and do some different things than the White Sox have done in the recent past. You know, I had to pitch against those teams in the 2000s, and the lineups were intimidating. And I'm looking forward to seeing those types of players on the field and building a World Series team here in Chicago.
Brian, in closing, and Mike and I really appreciate your time. Happy holidays to you and your family. When you look at Michael Kopech, how important is it for you and the organization to look at the pitcher who he is right now and the person he is right now compared to the kid that came out throwing 104 miles an hour on flat ground initially without a care in the world, and now the complications of life, the complications of injury, the complications of trying to compete at the major league level now? How important is that going forward, Brian, with his continued development?
You know, I had Michael with the Red Sox as a minor leaguer. He was part of the Chris Sale trade, and so you know, I think the world of him, and he's a very talented athlete. And having played alongside Zach Greinke back in the day with the Royals, and seeing him, you know, go through some things, but come out the other side a really productive person and pitcher. You know, I want the best for the person, because when the person's right, the player is even better. And so working with Michael holistically, you know, every aspect of his life in order to get the most out of him on the field and in the role and with the support that he needs, he's extremely talented and has one of the best arms in the league. And we've all seen that in the recent past. And so putting him in a position to succeed, to go out there and dominate and feel confident in his routine and confident in attacking hitters with his stuff, and being prepared on a routine that works for him. Those are all the things holistically that we're looking to support him in. And I think he had the late season surgery. And so we're looking to have him come back to spring training healthy in a good frame of mind with the ability to go out and succeed in whatever role is best for him that he proves to us.
Brian, we appreciate it very much. I know you're going to be a big part of all the moves the White Sox make. It's, I think, exciting to see the group that is being put together in the South Side, and you're a part of that going forward in the future. Thanks again, and happy holidays to you and your family. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, and have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you.
That's Brian Bannister, the White Sox new director of pitching, and we want to hear from you Sox fans at 312-644-6767. What you thought of what you just heard from Brian Bannister. Some very interesting stuff there, Bruce.
Yeah, you know, he's a real cerebral guy, but he also has the practical side. So there is the analytics side. There is the metric side. There is the practical pitching side that he was a part of. He brings an awful lot to the table for the Chicago White Sox in that front office. And again, Chris Getz has brought in a young group along with Gene Watson, who is not old by any stretch of the imagination. People hesitate to give them any credit moving forward. I get it. They haven't done it as a group yet. I just caution people. These are very bright people, very good baseball people. Give them the opportunity to make some moves along the way as we watch this process of the White Sox being rebuilt right now.
Absolutely. It was cool for me to hear him talking about all the new modern pitching analytics and different things with how he looks for pitchers. And he's as old school as it gets as well. And, you know, he mentioned his father, Floyd Bannister, of course, pitched for that 83 White Sox team and throughout the 80s for the Sox. So he's a nice combination of both old and new school, if you want to call it that.
Mike, we have a lot more to do on Inside the Clubhouse. I want to take your reaction to Ohtani, what's going on with the White Sox, everything Chicago baseball. The top of the hour, we'll be talking to Jerry Hairston Jr. about the move to sign Ohtani with the Dodgers. Jerry, the pre- and post-game host for Dodger baseball on TV. So lots going on, including we'll be talking more Chicago Cub baseball down the line here. With our guest Jared Banner, the assistant general manager of the team, and then at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, none other than Scott Boras, talk a little bit about what's going on with Bellinger and the rest of his free agents. Lots to do here on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Mike. I'm Bruce. It's Inside the Clubhouse on the Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, closing out hour one here on Inside the Clubhouse. We are on till 11:30 today, extra half hour of Inside the Clubhouse, and we will spend that wisely with Scott Boras, agent of the Stars, quite literally, Bruce. He will join us at 11. We're also excited to talk to Jared Banner, the Cubs assistant general manager, next hour, and Jerry Hairston Jr., Dodgers pre- and post-game show host, will join us at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. And we just talked to Brian Bannister, very interesting guy and very exciting. You could tell he was excited about the group that they're building on the south side to help remake this team.
It's going to be interesting how they try to work with Kopech and Cease coming off of a clunky year after being a Cy Young Award runner-up in 2022. I don't expect Cease to be with the White Sox when spring training starts. I just think that the trade market is going to bring too much for the White Sox to ignore in their situation right now. Dylan Cease, for the next 2 years, under a very favorable contract, one of the top pitchers in the game, in my opinion. I'm sure he'll have a great comeback next year, but I just think that he will bring too much inventory back, Mike, in a trade to be able to hold on to him. With the White Sox and the position they're in right now, he's going to be more valuable to them bringing four or five pieces back for their future endeavors.
Yep. And we talked about Eric Fetty with him, so Fetty figures to be part of that rotation. Schuster and Soroka as well, and Kopech talked about as well. But they're slowly but surely gathering arms in that rotation, and we'll see how it continues for the White Sox. We do need to get back and take a break, Bruce, but before we get to Jerry Hairston Jr. next hour, we'd like to welcome a new partner to the Score. Schmaltz Deli has been around almost 20 years, originally in Naperville, now about a half mile away from Naperville on Ogden in Lyle, family-owned and operated, with roots in the authentic New York-style Jewish delis, and to our knowledge, the only traditional deli that has a drive-thru, certainly a plus there. And if you're a sports fan, they installed TVs with the sports and entertainment packages so you could watch the game, enjoy a beer, and enjoy one of the best corned beef sandwiches you'll ever eat. You could also buy gift cards and get something for yourself. $100 for them and an extra $10 for yourself for free for buying that gift card. So check out Schmaltz Deli out there on Ogden in Lyle. When we return on Inside the Clubhouse, Jerry Hairston Jr., you remember him as a player. You remember his dad as a player. He is now the Dodgers pre- and post-game show host. He will join us next to talk Ohtani and other things when we return on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.